Okay, then I'd like to call to order the May 17th, 2018 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. And can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke is absent. Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And if everybody will stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So I would accept a motion to approve the agenda for our meeting this evening.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers and second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving right along, this evening we are going to have a presentation from the Early College High School. Mrs. McInnes, you're up. And, oh, before you get started, thank you for hosting our meeting tonight. So it's always nice to be in here.
It's always nice when the technology works. So
yeah. I will have to admit that when I was looking at our agenda, you forced me to learn something.
Yes.
Because you said you're going to use a paycheck kucha format, right. And I'm, what the heck is a paycheck?
Right, so, I am, if I can figure it out, I can do this. Hold on. So, I'm going to, hold on.
Okay. Well, were you going to explain? Okay, good.
I'm going to explain to you what you're going to love.
Eventually, right.
I could have said ahead of time where we start without me. That seems wrong. Okay, so Mary Gross and Danielle Williams introduced this to me when they had their students do a Petra Kucha presentation. Uh-huh. And the idea is you have to speak succinctly. So it's 20 slides, 20 seconds. So for 6 minutes and 40 seconds, I'm going to click along, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about our 4-year journey. I'm a little concerned that I won't do it as well as the freshman, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
All right.
Yes. Okay, let's see if it works. So, as you know, we started 4 years ago with a straight A grant, and from December until August, we had the chance to create a school. And I think our charge was to do it differently, and we really wanted to, that we recruited staff and students and thought about what are those components that would make us a little bit different. I had a parent recently say that we our staff was renegades, and I'm like, that's exactly what we want. But if we were renegades, then I would say that the first class, this founding class, were also disruptors. That we made some promises to them that we would be a STEM school, an early college high school. We'd use mastery learning and design thinking. And I think that this founding class has had such a profound and positive impact on the fabric of the school that they, as much as the professionals that came together, have impacted how we've grown in the last 4 years. So we promised to be a STEM school. And so we used the University of Chicago study. And these are the 8 components of inclusive STEM schools. And I think you can see that a lot of it is what the district is doing anyhow. Personalization of learning, problem-based learning, rigorous, a school community connection, career skills, and a commitment to external commitments and partnerships. And that was a part of what we were. We were also promised to be an early college high school. And so we were going to take our 3 broad pathways and use STEM pedagogy and carefully sequence courses so that students, if they wanted to, could gain up to an associate degree. And you know, we have 5 students that did that this year, but I think even more importantly is that the average number of credits that the class got was 22.5, which is the tipping point for students to continue on. From our inception, we were and continue to be committed to a mastery learning system. And when we initially started, we really thought this was about grading. How were we going to grade? But what we found out is that really we had to change our instruction. It's way more about formative feedback, that you have to pick those core foundational concepts that you want, and you have to, as a learner and a teacher, examine and reflect. Another part of mastery learning is that you have to have some systemic supports built in for students. What we initially, we tried a million ways to do this, but we'd have standalone days, a pause in instruction, or on Friday, and we try to retest and reteach and relearn. It didn't really work, and so where we've landed now is it's just part of our instructional cycle. That we do a lot of workshopping, we are pretty nimble with our schedule, that we'll reschedule students and meet their needs that way. I think a significant part of our professional development and onboarding new staff, too, is how you use universal design for learning in the classroom. That we really try to meet students where their needs are. And we do it through different assignments and assessments and feedback to students and personalized about where they're growing so that they move where they need to go, not where we expect everybody to be at the same time. We use design thinking inside our classroom, both as teachers and as students. Our design cycle is identify, plan, create, communicate. And teachers use it when they're planning units, and students use it when they're doing problems or presentations as well. We try to always onboard new students with a large-scale design challenge in the fall. This year, because we had all four grades, there are seniors, sophomores, juniors, and freshmen working together. A lot of STEM schools land on that they're either a project-based learning or a problem-based learning school, but we do both, mostly because sometimes there's a problem to solve and sometimes there is not. But I think they have the same components. There's authenticity, there is an intellectual challenge, there has to be a public product, kids have to have some self-management. I think it's the best way to build learner agency for students. And early on, we wanted to build this inquiry into part of what we do routinely. So we trained teachers at the Buck Institute and then came back, and our challenge to the staff was every semester we would add at least another large inquiry type lesson for students. And really we just have to take the lessons they already have and see, could they make them better? Could there be a public product? Could it be authentic? Could it be a rigorous intellectual challenge? And I think certainly we have paper pencil assessments, but we also try to push ourselves a little further than that when we can. Here's an example of ninth graders who were engaging in an enlightenment salon. They had to research an enlightenment thinker, and then they got together to discuss current social problems based on how that thinker would have addressed them. And while a paper pencil test would have worked, I would argue that this was just as meaningful for them. I think where we have some room to grow is how we use inquiry, though, just generally. Like, if you look at this slide, structured inquiry is in the shallow end of the pool, where a teacher plans everything. And then in the deep end, where we don't paddle around very much either, is that it's a lot more open-ended. And I think when we talk about anywhere, anytime learning, we aren't really there. You know, we conceptually understand it, but don't really practice it. We've done a lot to incorporate voice of choice with our students. Our freshman year, we tried Genius Hour and every Friday. What we learned is that it was difficult, and maybe it was because they were freshmen, but to sustain a long-term engagement on a project without some staff support and some more structure than we had given them. So this year, we tried Tiny Term, which was an intersession period in January. Students could pick two different topics, or they could engage in their own learning. The slide previously was a young lady working on genealogy. These young men are building mugs for STEAM night. Where I think we want to land is kids doing the engagement and picking their own learning. But we'll do a better job from our lessons learned with Genius Hour, that we have to give them more structure and support. Our habits of mind are really a part of what we really do all the time. Flexibility, outside-the-box thinking, resilience, collaboration and communication, self-sufficiency, and this year we added empathy. We build rubrics to help kids move and see how they can learn. Like, we don't expect them to come in with these, but we want to grow them with all of them. And we use them in conversations. Teachers use them. We try to model them. It's something that's important to us. I think our vision and identity over the 4 years has grown, too. Students indicate when they come to us that they really want the early college experience, But I think what they most appreciate is sort of the steppiness of our building. That they, this is this year's homecoming float, and you can see they embrace that quirky, nerdy type of behavior. They are proud of that. So I really think that that's a crafted part of our identity. One of the promises that I think we made and kept was that students would have some experience outside the school walls. This year we had over 65 students that had either an internship or a job shadowing experience. But I think the most remarkable thing is that all the employers that we work with are willing to do it again. I think it speaks to the work Tammy Cooper did with them and the habits of mind that we use all the time, that they didn't blow it for us with this first class at all. I think we also, we kept our promise about being an early college high school. Our kids have earned over 3,000 credits. The senior class alone earned 2,787 credits. 80% of them are going on either to a 2 or 4 year college. And I think we did this with strong staff supports, flexible and personalized learning for them. And I think a positive and connected experience with Columbus State. I think we kept our promise about mastery learning too. This is Tracy Johnson, and she is one of our valedictorians, and she had to write an essay for the University of Kentucky, and she said she would uninvent grades to make the world better. She said a place where students learn for the sake of gaining knowledge and not for the sake of getting an A. Destroying the grading system would allow students to distinguish themselves and take learning into their own hands. I loved it. You know, I cried the whole time I read that one too. I think we have certainly some future challenges. Every year we've had an issue with more students wanting to come than we think we can accommodate. And I think we have to have a plan rather than just crossing our fingers and saying, I hope we get the right kids. Mm-hmm. I also think that we have a tension between kids wanting to take college courses before they're academically they may be ready, but I'm not sure socially, emotionally they always are. And then finally, I want to end with a bit about gratitude. Every week I leave my staff a thought about gratitude, and I am profoundly grateful to Diane and to all of you for the experience that I had. The humiliation of being a novice after I had taken on, I was almost a master craftsman, and I had to relinquish the comfort and security of things that I knew, but I grew exponentially as a leader, and it has been the most amazing experience. I got to end my career like I started, being in relationship with kids with an amazing staff, and I am both humbled and grateful for the experience. 6 minutes and 40 seconds. Woo-hoo. There you go.
Okay, board, anybody have any questions?
Yes,
or comments for her?
One, you said you added.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, it spelled forces, so that was sort of for us too. But what it really, we had read several articles about, and kids had talked to us about it, about engineers sometimes, that was a skill that they lacked a little bit more than the other groups. And so we talked to kids about, like we introduced all of them, we really talk about what is it? What is empathy? What does it look like? How do you show it? How do you live it? But we would do that with all of them. Like with onboarding our freshmen, we always spend the first probably 9 weeks every day talking about those different habits of mind and what they look like. And then even you'll hear our students talk to each other about it, which then I know it's meaningful. It's not something that just hangs on our wall. But with empathy, it was just like the rest of them. What does it look like? Why is it important? How do you show up?
And you mentioned that 80%...
Yeah, are either going to a 4 or completing a 2 year
school. The other 20 are...
Some are going into the military, and some are entering full-time work. And some of them are purposeful. They're not just saying, hey, I'm going to go work at McDonald's. But a couple of them have had internships that have turned into an experience that they're going to continue in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly we don't have 100% that I can say they are all on the right track and they're going to get there. But
when I was speaking, I was told kids, it's not so important that you know what career you're in. What's important is that you have a goal and you're working on that goal. And so that all of our graduates, and I hope all the graduates from both of them, have goals in mind, that they work toward them, and that they're willing to change. They don't get so locked in, so focused, that they can't see other opportunities that may present themselves and going on. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, I mean, you know I have to make a comment, Kathy. Amy and I have been on the board since it started. And I can vividly remember getting the phone call on the way back from ED411 in Columbus when Diane said, we got the grant. And then it was like, how are we going to get this done in that short amount of time, you know? And you expressed great, gratitude, but we are so grateful for the work that you've done here and just that willingness to make yourself uncomfortable. I've talked to a variety of...
That's how I came every month and lied to you. I feel bad about that. Hey, I never knew what I was talking about.
But, we have friends that are parents of kids here, so we heard some stories too. I'm grateful for the parents, for the families, for the students, because everybody was willing to take that leap of faith.
The last couple weeks, people were finishing and they'll say, I remember sitting there, or I didn't think this was the right decision. I guess I'm also gratified that nobody has said, we really wish we had not chosen this path. There may be some, but they haven't talked about
it. You remember all those meetings coming in and planning, like bringing in the construction
oh my gosh.
Crews and all that?
Seriously, it was like people speaking Swahili to me.
It's amazing. So proud of what has happened and all the accomplishments of the students. You're a great role model throughout the district, and we're seeing it throughout the district. People.
It's fun to have
can
people
see what's
talking
happening.
All that same language.
Right. So thank you very much.
So last night I had the privilege of attending the early college awards night, and the high school cafeteria sits 400 and some change, and there was not an empty seat in that venue last night, and I just think that speaks to the culture that you've established not only with your staff and students, but parents alike. I don't think that as my life as a high school person, I've ever, one boy couldn't attend, his dad came. Mm-hmm. It was a priority and important to families, and that's a direct reflection of your leadership, even though you don't like to take credit. Kathy, you're an inspiration. You're an inspiration to kids. You're an inspiration to me. I aspire to be the leader that you are each and every day. Your positivity, your can-do, stick-to-itiveness, energy.
Yes.
while you sometimes drain me, I just think that you are a gem, and quite frankly, don't take the credit you deserve. And you have done well by our district and by our kids, whether it was at Bunzeld or here. And the words thank you aren't good enough, but they're the only ones I have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I think you deserve another round. Yes. Oh, yes.
Charles, I can say something.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Anybody? Thank you.
There's so many people, so make your way down. Yeah. This is a nice little thing, but I can't thank you enough that you single-handedly got our kids, and I worried the most about our kids in the medical pathway, and you were patient with them, you held them accountable, you came up with an amazing idea for them to get this meeting. And we can't thank you enough. I am so appreciative. Thanks.
Thank you. Carrie, we've like to shake your hands.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just like to say that, you know, when you see somebody and you wonder, are they our employee or not? You know, that's what I think about you. Because when I've come in this building, you've been here so many times. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, and there's no public participation, so we'll move on to our report. As I let you know, Mr. Chivington was unable to attend our meeting tonight, so I sent you his report. If you have any questions, or you know, feel free to ask him. I know they were celebrating the fact that their levy passed, so that's great news for all of the districts that feed into High Point, and that we appreciate our partnership with them. So next up, we have the superintendent's report, Ms. Mankins.
Okay, so I want to start. Scott and Heidi are here tonight. They worked with worked with the Unified Arts adoption series. So you know how every year we have a group come forward and do an adoption series and spend time. We asked them to kind of come here tonight and share the highlights from the process and the purchases that will be earmarked for Unified Arts K-12 for the upcoming school year.
Great.
So if you want to go and present the front of this is basically who we worked with. So it was health, it was phys ed, Spanish, Japanese, technology, STEM, and then all of our music. So bands, choirs, everything. And you can go ahead and flip the page there. So this was kind of the process that we did. And this was interesting, I think, for Amy and Scott and I. I've only ever been on the other side of this, like as the teacher. And so being in this to kind of facilitate it, and I feel like you guys were kind of in a similar role.
Had the opportunity to do this as well, and it was a lot of fun for us because it was it's very much so teacher driven.
Yes.
And basically we explained what the process was, what the expectations were, what the timelines were, and helped set things up. But they're the ones that navigated the waters. They're the ones that did all the research. They're the ones that came to us with ideas.
Right.
Not that we need to read this to you, but this was the process, and it was very specific to them. We reached out to them at the end of last year, right about now. We said, next year, it's your guys' turn, and you know we're going to get the opportunity to look at some new stuff for your classrooms.
So you can see, like, one of our agendas, you know, and Jonathan was really, really helpful in kind of giving us the guidelines of what, what we needed to make sure that they knew. So materials I'm thinking about, we needed it to be a five-year adoption. So whatever they were going to get had to last for 5 years. It needed to be compatible with what we have. That was the preference. So if we have, you know, Google stuff, we didn't necessarily want Apple stuff. That we wanted to make sure that if there were changes in Ohio standards, not that that ever happens, but that would be caught up with, you know, on their end of the vendor's end of it. And then also, we didn't want them just to buy something to buy it. We wanted it to have meaning. And I'll tell you, the neatest part for me, having been on the other side of it, was there are so many things that people came up with, like they dreamed really big, and that was really fun. I mean, especially after hearing you talk about what's here. I feel like there were some really big dreams. Like one that comes to mind is Krista Rockazella.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, at Creekview for STEM. Just dream big. She wanted, I can't even remember, like all these pieces and parts and gadgets and things that she's been bringing in from home, pipe cleaners and things like that, and now there's going to be hopefully some areas where she can designate for kids to build things and really have some critical thinking and depth of knowledge. Like it was just such a cool process to see. So when they had all these ideas of things, well, they first brought us the names of people, and you can talk about our vendors.
So ultimately staff looked for, and they had reached out to other districts. They had reached out to some of the vendors to find out what the latest and greatest is. Then we had a vendor fair, and we had close to 20 vendors come into Marysville High School, and the teachers that were looking at this stuff came and just walked around and talked to each vendor, and we're able to talk about ideas, the latest and greatest. They were able to see some things. It was really, really cool.
And that was all driven by them.
We contacted the vendors, mm-hmm. but they sent us the names of the people they wanted. So we gave it like chunks of time, right? Like, so here's kind of our ask. Here's the parameters we want you to work within. Send us the name of some vendors that you might be interested in. And so they did. So from there, Amy and Scott and I contacted. We reached out and said, hey, we want to have this vendor fair at the high school. And they were, oh my gosh, they were like, yes, we'd love to come. Because, of course, why wouldn't they?
Right.
So they did. And like I said, there was over 20 of them. And it was just really neat for them to be able to go through and see things. You know, see things they were curious about. So it wasn't, again, just blind spending. Mm-hmm. It was really looking at it and being able to play with it. So from there, the ask was for them to really pilot some things. And there was one group in particular who took it and ran, and it was an elementary. Do you remember Amy knew who it was? There was maybe elementary phys ed.
Phys ed.
Yes.
Was one, like, they were so excited and got so much information. And they, at the vendor fair, the vendors gave them a lot of equipment to try and some, mm-hmm. it was, yes, they were very excited.
Like kids in candy stores.
Yes, absolutely.
Excited. So they played. And then from there, what we asked is for them to really narrow down what it was that they wanted. And again, we asked them, dream big, but within reason. Like, it's not just spend to spend, but really think about things that can enhance kind of the district initiative where we're going with personalized learning and CBE in 2020. And so from there, they gave us some quotes. And again, I have all these linked. You don't need to necessarily see those. But they would send vendor quotes to us. Mm-hmm. And then we met with Jonathan and Diane on the 2nd of May. And we talked about, we kind of went through everybody and what they wanted and just had that discussion about how cool it was for us to go through that and hear the music people talk about what they wanted and what their vision was. Yeah, that was it.
The pros of the process, it's all teacher-driven.
Yeah.
Really put them in charge of what they can do in the classroom. And the teachers were excited about it, really reached out, studied it, and were asking for great things. We did have quite a few calamity days this year, and we felt rushed at some times, but the teachers were still able to pilot everything. They were still able to do everything within those timelines.
And we tried to be a little flexible, too, because we had, I think there was a January something meeting that we had scheduled, and we were like, I don't even know if they had enough time. So we had to bump things a little bit throughout the process, but they were great. Mm-hmm. They were great about working with us and understanding. I think they were thankful the fact that we bumped some of them.
Yeah.
And the vendor fair was probably the coolest thing out of the whole process because they were really engaged in the process, and I think they had to own that because we didn't reach out to anybody unless they gave us the name. So that was the, mm-hmm. I think that they had ownership in the whole process.
One thing that's neat for me, as I self-reflected, I really enjoyed the opportunity, even though it was part of my work. But what's more exciting for me, having four boys growing up in the district, is what they're going to get to experience in each of these buildings. It really got me excited because of what the kids will get to see out of this. Mm-hmm. So it was really awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for allowing
sure,
us to
so, thank you. So is this the first time that the staff has been involved in selecting stuff for Unified Arts?
Yeah, Unified Arts.
Yeah.
This is their first time to go through the cycle.
Right.
So we're getting ready to gear back up with math.
Right.
So that's where we started.
Right.
So
okay.
So now we've gone through an entire
everybody
cycle.
Has now had their cycle, and now we're starting the second cycle
right.
back with math.
Right.
It's been 5 years.
And does it seem like what they're going to have is a lot different than what they are used to?
A lot less textbooks, which
that
part for me was like, whoa.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, so that part, and the technology,
They
came up with some really, really neat things, too.
Cool.
I'm trying to think what else was just really stand-out.
Well, Christy Rapazilla did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
She's already said
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I want to be in the classroom.
Right.
Do some of the things that
Well, and maker spaces at the elementary.
Great.
And even, like, the BMS Media Center had asked for some makerspace to seating that we were able to talk about doing as well. So really great process.
Staff was excited.
Yeah, it was really the kind of Christmas. I felt like Santa when we were able to say, hey, what about this? It was kind of fun.
I love when there's collaboration between the buildings too, and I mean it allows just like you being here tonight and hearing Kathy. You know, I mean I think that's great.
Oh, absolutely. But I think what she does here is the driving force of where we're all headed, and I feel like in the Unified Arts world now, I think that there's some cohesion about what that district vision is and where we want to be. Because again, that was part of the requirements that we had talked about. Not only does it have to be like 5 years, but think about how this is going to kind of blend
did
with
our eight collective inspire.
So yeah. it was a great process.
Great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
One of the things, students all learn differently, teachers all teach differently. And do you feel like that there's enough flexibility in terms of the choices of materials and so forth that the teachers throughout the district will be able to take that and use the material in ways that the teacher in the classroom next to them might not use it? They're both using kind of the same methodology, you know, some of the same materials, but each using a bit of their own vision.
I do, and I think although we want our students to kind of end up in the same goal in terms of mastery, I think of Spanish when you're telling me this, because we have two Spanish teachers at Bunsell, and I know that they're going to have access to the same materials, but I know inevitably they're different teachers, and so they're going to present, but I feel like it gives them the flexibility to really make their classroom into what's best for the student, not necessarily like how I teach best, but really how you learn best, and how you learn best, and how you learn best. So it's a big option of things, like a big variety. It's exciting. That's good.
Great.
Thank you. Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. So I have a couple other things. Just now my list could go on and on forever.
This time of year, right?
Pre-graduation and end of school year, so I'm not getting into them all. But I did want to highlight we had graduation practice today. Things are well on their way. We are keeping a careful eye on the weather. It is not looking good for Saturday. I received a call from the vendor on the stage. We may not have a stage. They have concerns about setting their stage up in rain and leaving it set out for 2 days. So we're working on that plan. If it is outside and that is the case, we'll make appropriate accommodations, I guess, would be the right way to say it. We'll know by tomorrow afternoon if we'll have a stage or not. The goal would be, if at all possible, to have graduation outside. No one likes limiting the access to experience that event, so, I guess do your anti-rain dance or whatever
right.
you need to
mm-hmm.
do.
If it does have to be inside, will they still do the live feed in the auditorium?
We'll do live feed in the auditorium, and we have a new very large screen that will be set up in the cafeteria as well. So it'll be a bit behind, but
delayed
still, our preference is to have it outside.
Exactly,
so
yep.
That's our goal. Senior award ceremonies went well. Great participation and support from our community at those events, so it's always great to see the kids be able to celebrate their success. Also, Kathy mentioned briefly, but I think it's worth a highlight, that we did have 5 students graduate from Columbus State last Friday. The more impressive thing to that, to me, is that there were only 7 high school students that did graduate through College Credit Plus, and 5 of them were from Marysville.
Oh, nice.
And 3 of those 5 graduated with honors. So, a lot to celebrate. So we're working on it. I just talked to Chad tonight. We're working on a press release. Columbus State is also going to do a big feature and marketing campaign around it as well. So very, very pleased with that. Testing wrapped up last week. Jonathan and team finalizing submissions, so I know that's a big sigh of relief from everyone. There were technical issues that were not our issues, but we still had to deal with them throughout the period. So Tom Powell and his team did a great job in interviewing as well with that. Kindergarten enrollment, we're up about 20 students in kindergarten. We did go ahead and post a new kindergarten position at Northwood, interviewed for that, and I think actually made an offer today. It won't be reflected in the tonight. I don't think we got that turned around quick enough for Lynette. So, so we're continuing to keep an eye on that as well as enrollment across the district. Levy update. First of all, I wanted to publicly congratulate High Point. They're certainly a strong partner of ours, and We will benefit from the passage of their levy in terms of equipment and support for our students in both high schools and the middle school. So we were happy for them that passed. Also, our committee is meeting Tuesday the 29th at 5:30 at the public library. We have some designs already laid out, and things are moving forward very well. There's already a social media presence and starting to really ramp things up going into the summer and certainly at the beginning of next school year. So that's going well as well. Stadium project, we've had a couple meetings. We're trying to knock out final design plans. So, for example, where receptacles might go, not trash receptacles, but electric receptacles, and the nitty-gritty kind of things so that we can send things out to bid. So we're in that process now. There's a meeting this week, a meeting next week. So that is underway. The goal would be to kind of stick with that original plan to start with bundled so that we have a track in place to scale that project out. So that is underway.
So you would anticipate like later this summer to be, or sooner than that?
Sooner than later.
Yeah. Right.
So
okay.
As soon as we can turn around the design plans for Bunzel,
right.
That would go out to bid. So
okay.
It will be a process as far as there will be some alternates placed mm-hmm. on there, so things will be dependent on fundraising and funds as well.
Right.
So
okay.
There'll be some options kind of laid out. One example of that might be, do you put the concession stand building in now, or do you wait till a little bit later? So those are the kind of things we're betting to do.
Okay.
And that is all I have. Again, I think every building is doing something at the end of the year. Mr. Langhouse is featured in the dunk tank at Northwood 2:30 on Monday. If you're not busy,
oh.
There are other signed items by the superintendent. So there are a lot of things happening throughout the district as well. And I know you get those updates, so I'm not going to run through everyone's dates.
Do you want to say anything about the Senior Citizens Breakfast?
I sure can. Senior
okay.
Citizens Breakfast. And principal for the day have both took place. Both went really well. Let's start with principal for a day. I think we had great participation, and I really kind of went to some smaller business owners this time and kind of a different variety. One of our principals for the day even sang a solo out at Raymond's and participated, so they had some great experiences. That went very well. Then we also had our first senior citizens breakfast. It was something that the district has done in the past. That was on the 9th, I think, of
yes,
May.
Yes, it was, yeah.
And that went very well. We were able to have each principal highlight something they were proud of in their building. Showed our robotics team. We had students from Creekview come and sing, and then Jesse Boomstra talked briefly about his internship. So we'll plan on scheduling that out annually. We're a little stressed, but it all came together nicely.
Perfect.
Yeah. So
it was really nice.
Really
I know.
Was.
Yeah.
People said afterwards that too.
Yeah.
Yes, the feedback was very positive. They liked hearing from each building. I wondered, you know, if it got a little long at that
mm-hmm.
part, because
right.
I think we hear it so often.
Mm-hmm.
But they were actively engaged and listening, and of course loved watching the kids. I mean, that everyone commented on being able to watch the
right.
kids and enjoying that. But I think it went really well and gave a nice overview without being too detail oriented mm-hmm. about what we're doing for the district. So the cafeteria team put together a great breakfast for us, and it was great.
And I can't believe that you're leaving out the highlight of that morning, though, because Todd did give a financial update for them.
So.
I was waiting.
We did have a financial update as well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just teasing.
We presented the stadium project as a part
yes.
of that as well.
And my mother-in-law attended, and she appreciated. You know, she says, oh, that made a lot of sense, and, you know, then I thought... Mm-hmm. That was good stuff. So
yeah.
The whole thing, yeah.
Okay.
That seems like 3 months.
A long time. I know. No, that's okay. Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Good segue. More good stuff. Mm-hmm. So the main thing on the agenda tonight is the May 5-year forecast. We presented that in April, so there's really no changes to the forecast that's presented tonight. Kind of a big picture, we've got revenues exceeding expenditures this year, as well as most likely next year we'll probably have revenues exceeding expenditures as well. So what that means is starting in fiscal year 20, we'll have expenditures exceeding revenues, meaning we're going to start eating into our ending cash balance. A big part of this forecast, a big variable in this forecast, is the upcoming levy. If this levy were to fail, we would have a cash deficit in fiscal year 22, which means we would be on the ballot for new money as early as 2 to 3 years from now. So obviously that levy is very vital to this forecast. Assuming that the levy does pass, then we would currently show a positive cash balance all the way through fiscal year 23, which would mean we would be at least 15 years since our last new money levy. So, you know, good financial news.
Yeah.
More good financial news. Diane talked a little bit about our stadium funding. As you're aware, you know, we've talked about the money that the district has set aside. Currently, we have $5 million set aside for the stadium project, and that money was generated from TIF revenue. So our TIF revenue that we just received about a month ago actually increased. So we've received almost an additional $500,000. We're going to allocate that increase above what we normally receive towards the stadium project. Because one of the questions we get a lot of times when we're talking about the stadium project is, you know, what about the rest of the TIF money? What are you doing with that? So I guess what I'll call the original amount, the TIF money that we've typically received, that goes towards our 20-year permanent improvement forecast. That goes towards, you know, buying our school buses and replacing computers and repaving the parking lots and those kinds of things. So that, the bulk of that TIF money is now used to maintain that forecast. But our plan now is, due to that increase, is to take that increase amount over the next 5 years and apply that towards the stadium project. Still some variables in there, obviously. One, you know, what that TIF revenue might look like 5 years from now could go up, could go down. Two, when those bids come in, do the bids come in where we want them to be, or do they come in on the high end? Because, you know, we've got a range. So it really depends what that comes in at as well. So the fundraising amount, you know, we'll have, still have to keep an eye on that. If things worked out great on the bids and our TIF revenue increase stayed throughout the 5 years, you know, that could almost potentially cut that fundraising need in half. But we'll know a lot more when the bids come in later this year.
Okay.
You know, thinking about this, I'm coming to the position that we've got to get this thing done.
Right.
Because our kids deserve it. We are, I think, maybe the only middle school in our conference that does not have their own dedicated facility. And our current varsity facilities are decaying. The track is shot. Bleachers have been up for 45 years. I keep telling people, I put them together. I put them in by hand. And I don't guarantee those things. You know, so there's some real need to do some things there. So somehow or another, through community support, through increases in the TIF income that the school district is receiving, in my mind, this project has to move forward. Our kids have done without long enough.
Yeah.
And they deserve better.
My only question would be, you know, if you allocate those additional TIF revenues to the stadium project now, do you still have flexibility? Like, if, let's say, all of a sudden you have a disaster in a building and, you know, have some expenses that were unexpected, mm-hmm. you still have the flexibility to use that, or those kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things play into that. You know, one, we've got the, you know, almost like what we call a line of credit that we'll be able to use right. towards the stadium project.
Right.
And then two, you know, we're still maintaining that permanent improvement forecast. We're not, you know, taking that down to zero. You know, we're
right.
going to try to maintain an amount so that exactly that type
right.
of thing we're able to adjust if needed.
Okay.
Don't we have some of that though in the forecast too? For
yeah,
some
we have a line where it's kind of an inflationary contingency
right.
line.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we actually wouldn't be taking from that. I think that was the important piece to us, that it was only additional revenue that we would earmark towards that project.
Right. Okay.
That's all.
That's it? Okay. For my report, let's see, we had Dick, Nan, and I attended the Board Leadership Institute at the end of April, and I think we attended 13 different breakout sessions, and I know at least for myself, I thought it was one of the best ones that I've attended since I've been on the board, and I think we brought back some really useful information. I know Dick gave me a handout about a credentialing program that Champaign County. What county is that? We're
Madison.
London. Madison County. Yeah, Madison County has a credentialing program, and they handed out like all the, you know, just the whole application process for students to go through. And so I did take that to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, shared it with Eric, and Tanya Woodruff was saying that she had just been at a safety council meeting, and they had been talking about that exact thing, because I think the safety council in London handles some of that process. So there's definitely an interest here, and so we'll see what happens. Let's see, community coffee. I know there was one this past Saturday.
Yes, we only had Barbara, Luke, and Ken Terrigan,
okay.
along with Brian and myself.
Okay.
There, but we actually took this opportunity to talk about a lot of things about the district. So
right.
It was a good opportunity to talk about, especially end of year, you know, topics, you
mm-hmm.
know, graduation, valedictorian,
mm-hmm.
Kids moving on into the workforce, and moving on to college.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually a very good conversation.
Right. And I know, we need to talk a little bit about our summer schedule. In the past, we haven't really done too many coffees in the summer, and I didn't know if anybody has any interest in doing any in June or July.
I attended that Levy University at the Ohio School Board Association on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And primarily they're focused on new money levies.
Right.
But they did a lot of talking about the amount of communication, even with renewal
right.
levies, that you really need to have with the community.
Right.
So I was hoping that maybe we try and continue them over the summer.
Okay.
And maybe reach out and have some levy
information. Right, right. Because we know,
right.
yeah.
Right.
Well, if we're not on school property, though, we can promote, but yeah.
But,
okay.
Just be able to share information, things that are going in. Most community members are focused on either their singular school,
mm-hmm.
or if they are senior citizens, a lot of times
right.
they don't have anyone even in the district, so they feel very disattached. So
mm-hmm.
I think the senior citizen breakfast engaged several people that
mm-hmm.
Maybe wouldn't have been engaged before.
Right. Okay.
Yes, we could.
A thought would be maybe if we could do the coffees at two different places, like it is in a senior citizen home, or I mean,
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, we can certainly reach out to
mm-hmm.
their social directors.
Right.
And,
okay. Well, do you want to go ahead and just come up with some ideas and shoot us an email, and then we'll.
Yep, I'll put
okay.
together kind of a schedule and reach out to a couple people
okay.
and see if they have open time in their agenda.
Okay, because I know, like I was looking at the calendar, and the Saturdays before our meetings would be June 16th, July 14th, and August 11th. If we stick with that Saturday before our meetings, but, you know, that's not set in stone. Okay, and then yeah, like Diane said, there this time of year, there's so many things going on. So a lot of them have passed, but if you had a chance to go to the FFA plant sale, I have some beautiful impatiens in the front of my house if you drive by. They're from FFA. Let's see, Creekview is having their community service day tomorrow, I think from 10 to 12 at Edgewood and the Gables, if anybody wants to stop by. I think they're doing some, yard, I don't know, just some kind of community service for them. So if you have the time, stop by there. And then, of course, graduation is this Saturday. So, and then the other thing for us to think about over the summer, we do our end-of-year evaluations in July of Diane and Todd, and I think it's also kind of a nice opportunity for us to maybe schedule a work session to review our work plan. So, again, I'll just kind of be on the lookout for some emails and checking your calendar, and we'll see if we can't get something scheduled for that. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
All right. I sent this report to you, with the statewide primary elections and the resignation of the Speaker of the House, things in Columbus have slowed down significantly, and so the focus really has been on some committee meetings. In the House, there are a couple of bills that received hearings this week. House Bill 544, Standards for Safety Enhancement to New School Facilities, and the recommendation in this legislation is to put in metal detectors and surveillance video and classrooms that have communication with administrative offices, real-time notification, within a classroom, a panic button or an alert of some kind, and a means of threat containment so that you can block off areas of the building. And as I was looking at that, every single one of those things would add significant costs to construction, new construction, if the bill was passed. And so I know it's going to get a lot of discussion on whether it's going to go anywhere. I don't know. Substitute amendment, Senate Bill 216, which passed in the Senate, had a hearing in the House, and there was lots of proponent testimony on that. Companion bill is House Bill 540, that is the School Deregulation Act, and it has a variety of things which I've listed for you that touch on the evaluation and licensure, College Credit Plus, designations of highly qualified teachers, state assessments, and kindergarten readiness exams, and so forth. So it covers a lot of things. This is a bill that started up in the Lima area and seemingly had a lot of support in the Senate, and I think will get a lot of support in the House. In the Senate, they had a couple bills that just came over to the House, the Anti-Bullying and Anti-Hazing Act was introduced in the Senate this week, and they had a brief hearing on that. The other one that came up was House Bill 591, and this was back in the House. OSBA took a positive position on this bill. I included at the end of my report their entire testimony. This has to do with the school grade card and making some changes on that so that it more fairly presents information to parents and the community. This bill is brand new. The State House website didn't even have a copy of the language of the bill available. But probably one of the more significant things that people focus on is the fact that it would eliminate letter grades.
Yeah.
And it would provide statistics, some graphics and statistical data on how a school compares to like schools to statewide averages, but it wouldn't assign a grade. Because as we know, you can, in a classroom, you can have a student that makes huge accomplishments and yet doesn't master the material, would receive a grading situation, maybe an F, but they have grown dramatically. And so assigning letter grades to school districts is a little bit the same way. There are a lot of good things going on in the school districts, and a single letter grade doesn't do justice and fairness. This bill is looking to make some changes. I haven't had a chance to really talk to people about it. You each may have gotten a notice, an email. I got one. I don't know if anybody else did prior to the testimony the other day. And I was not able to attend. This would be House Bill 581 would be something to pay attention to.
Okay. Thank you. Like I said, I do. I appreciate your sending those reports. It's nice to have them handy to read over. So
I appreciate your comment.
Good. So. Okay, Safety and Drug Committee report.
We are in between our meetings so
okay.
We have nothing this month.
All right. Next up on our agenda, I need a motion to approve the minutes of our April 26th regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Any comments, questions, corrections? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, for the most part, it's. The five-year forecast, as I noted, is on there. That's the big item. Everything else is pretty much business as usual. I would note on there, we did get a generous donation from Cal Adams for the stadium project.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I just think the five-year forecast emphasizes the importance of the renewal.
Yep.
Keep the school district on solid financial footing so we can continue to move forward.
Right. And I would also comment that this might be the best five-year forecast I've seen. I mean, when you look at the ending cash balance. So great job. I know as you're going through all of these hires and looking at the needs of their building, I mean, we definitely... I think I speak for the rest of us. I mean, we don't want you to shortchange anybody, you know, and if there's needs out there, then we need to fill them. But we really appreciate how much time and thought you put into juggling things around and trying to get people in the best place to do the best job for our kids. So thank you. There are no questions and a roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, I need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Ms. Mankins.
We have quite a list of HR, just as you mentioned, hiring time, so we've been busy with that. A couple of resignations, but one I wanted to highlight was Katie Silcott has left quite a legacy in the school district, and she's the beacon of positivity. I don't think anything ever shakes her away. She was the one that spearheaded the event at Funzel with one of the walkout days. I couldn't say enough great about her, but she has the opportunity to work right around the corner from her house and is in the district where her children will go to school, so it's hard to compete with that. So we wish her well and that the door is always open to Marysville.
She can move.
She came when my kids were in choir,
yeah,
so I've known her forever.
Yeah.
You know.
We have classified contracts on this time. Mm-hmm. Summer staff, so we always hire extra not lawnmowers, but people who mow the lawn, right?
Yeah, right.
And certainly quite a list of volunteers again as we amp up for those end of the year celebrations. I know several of the people are on there. We also have the list of graduates, so I know there's 420-some students.
Wow.
I'm really happy if that's approved tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You also have student fees. K-6 student fees remain the same. There's actually a reduction in middle school fees just with changing some of the things they're doing. So I think those are noted for you as well. You also have all the handbooks on this month, and the principals highlighted changes that were made from previous. Several of them were just changes we had to get in line with the law or things of that nature. So,
right.
Overnight trips, there were several overnight trips that were summer-type activities, including sixth-grade camp for next year. And one thing I really wanted to highlight that I'm pretty excited about is the transportation department is doing a first-time Carnival Day. Yeah,
I printed it off. I know. I thought that was so neat.
So Tina's been hard at work trying to organize that and really kind of take the fear out of the first-time rider on a school bus. So that is scheduled for August 4th. So right before school comes back. Mm-hmm. So pretty excited to see all that come together. She's worked pretty hard on that with the leaders in transportation.
That's really nice. I was looking over the list of graduates and just seeing MHS, ECHS, TRI listed in there. And just, they're all Monarchs. And, we've gone through a pretty big change opening up the early college high school. And, there's going to be some people who are like, oh, man, we've got two buildings and two high schools. But at the end of the day, we're all Monarchs. And, it just ties in with the personalized learning and providing the options that our kids need to fit the way that they learn. So it was exciting to see all those on there, so that's great.
Well, certainly the TriKids, I forget the final number because we still have one trying to finish up some work today and pass the test, but there's potentially 30 students that would not be walking across the stage without that building, so it's about creating environments for all kids and every kid to be successful.
And I think, they're not just getting that high school diploma. They've gained confidence in themselves. And as we heard, they have plans, they're excited, and so that's wonderful. Couldn't be more happy.
Absolutely. No, I was thrilled with how things work. I know 4 or 5 years ago, was trying to put together a variety of visions of Tri-Academy. I think kind of came out of kind of an extension of the whole process of looking how we would meet the needs of students in the building. And I know I've had a good time talking to people that I've come in contact with in Washington and Columbus in this community. Just returned from overseas and spent some time talking to people in that book about everything. when you can say with confidence that the students are getting a quality education regardless of where they begin, we're going to move them forward. We're going to provide them some opportunities and help to give them the skills that they need for success. I was going to, if I can, I'm going to get long with as I usually do. Because I'm going to throw this in the end, but at the meetings in Columbus that we attended, there was a Pell speaker, Jim Lee, and she talked about the portrait of the graduate. And she had a line, the thing that caught my attention, she had a line that she drew. And then on top of the line, she had life expectancy. So it started out with just little bumps back in Roman Empire and ancient Egypt and so forth. And as you move forward, life expectancy begins to extend. Underneath, she started putting bumps, curves, represent the amount of time that knowledge lasts, that a specific fact or some information was considered valid. And so, back in the beginning, while life expectancy was short, the amount of time in which knowledge was considered valid extended for generations. Mm-hmm. And as we move to the current time, that begins to decrease. And her, the point she was making, that our graduates are likely to see the, you know, basic, some of the basic information that they deal with change 3 or 4 times in their lifetime. You know, they said that the amount of knowledge that's available now has just exploded. You know, we laugh about people that used to use an encyclopedia to look things up. And by the time you printed an encyclopedia today, it would be obsolete because things are changing. And so it is rewarding to know that our seniors have been prepared not just for a career, but to continue their learning and be able to manage the information as they move forward and go through what I expect many of them will experience, and that is multiple careers. Mm-hmm. Some of them will end up in entirely jobs that we can't even imagine today. So, it's, and I think that's the James point. You can't teach kids what they need to know. You know, that's not possible anymore. And what you have to try and teach them, what I think our school is working toward, and what I think we've at least accomplished to some degree, is preparing students to deal with that fast-paced change that is likely already likely to occur. And you see that in kindergartens when you go and visit them. You see it in the senior classes and their projects and so forth. And it just, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Literally, because this is, you know, this is exciting. We feel like that graduates on Saturday are not just getting a diploma, you know, they're getting a real, honest future. Mm-hmm.
Well said. Well, if you weren't so far away down there, you know. Okay. Any other questions or comments? No. Okay. I do appreciate them making the just the changes for the handbook, so we don't have to read through 78 pages. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Vine.
Yes. Motion carries. And last up, comments and questions from board members. Do you have anything else? I'm limiting. You've got like 30 seconds, Nick, okay?
I know things are exciting to me.
Yes?
And thank you very much. I had my conversation.
I appreciate you very much.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you for hosting.
Anytime.
Once again, I want to thank all the volunteers. We get another huge list of volunteers. So this school district would not be what it is without the volunteers. So on top of the wonderful work that the staff does, our volunteer base is very impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pleasure working with you all the time that we've been on the board. And they're from Fun Sold On. So thanks for everything. Thanks for hosting us tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for this graduation, not only just as a board member, but my first grandchild's graduated from Marysville, too.
So that's pretty
it's
exciting.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm excited.
Good. Todd, any comments?
No, thank you.
Yeah? Oh, sure, really?
I got one.
Okay, one more. Okay.
Yeah, there was a classified contract that was Richard Smith.
Oh, yes, I know, right. It's not you. Yeah. It's not you. That's right. That's right. Okay.
He's a nice gentleman.
Right. Okay. I just want to, you know, I just wanted a little shout out for the article that was in the paper about Parker Kuzma. just great stuff to have a student who had two perfect 36s. I know he said he does not want to be known as just that, and he certainly will not be known for just that because he's involved in a variety of things, and he's such a fine young man, a great example for our district. And thank you, Kathy, for hosting this. If you noticed, you were on our agenda today, so we will be seeing you next year. And I look forward to you, you know, kind of helping spread the wings and helping people learn some new things. So, thank you. Yes, maybe commenting again about the retirees, mm-hmm. how much we appreciated the service of all of our retirees. And I should also say the couple of people who were on here who were not able to attend, Megan Orr, Beth McCabe, and Cheryl Allegree. So we thank all. I know Beth pretty well because she was at Edgewood for a long time. So anyways, we thank them for their service. And with that, maybe just one other, proud of all the accomplishments this year, because as we're getting close to graduation, between all of our extracurriculars and academics, we have so much to be proud of and so much to celebrate, and we're looking forward to doing that on Saturday outside. So how about a motion to adjourn?
Some
motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.